Hello, everybody. Thanks, you guys, for joining us here at the Valley Outdoors. Ava's here.
I'm here.
And who is sitting? Who is this guy next to me?
The one and only Don Cleaver.
Wow. That's just, it kind of scares me. Because it's like never there, never there. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, what in the world are you doing here?
We missed Don.
And you never know the reason why.
I know. Nope. Exactly right. Didn't know the reason why. Lots of fun coming up today, guys. You're going to want to hang out. We're going to talk about the state of Mille Lacs, the fishery Mille Lacs with Tony Roach. He's got some phenomenal insights we brought up a couple, three, 4 weeks ago. But this is right from the proverbial horse's mouth. So stay tuned. That and more when we come back.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Well, Donald, good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Then viewed.
Yeah, it's good to be present.
Exactly. Oh, got a great show coming up. I'm excited to talk to Tony, Tony Roach from Roach's Guide Service. He, good friend of the show, good friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years, and very knowledgeable on multiple fronts.
You know, I've never met Tony.
Haven't you?
But I fished with his dad.
I don't know if it's his dad.
Oh, really?
No. It's not. I don't think it's his dad. It's,
oh, really?
It's
Gary?
Relative. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Same last name.
Yep. Same last name. Infamous.
I bet he got some tips from his relative.
He might.
Yeah.
So, I have talked to him at length, and the nice part about Tony is he's very he's level-headed. We talked for quite a bit of time prior to having him on today, and really looking at in depth and multiple angles what Mille Lacs, as well as other fisheries that we've seen have issues and that are creating some legislative changes in Wisconsin. Again, what are the reasonings? And the reasonings are as important as anything else, because to me that shows the validity of what a natural resource management group, I don't care what you call it, the DNR or the Parks and Fish, whatever you want to call it, but it shows the validity of what they're doing and they're testing by looking at the methodology and where they get their consistency from.
I think it'd be great to go down the line and get a DNR biologist on.
Oh, we
and hear what their comment is on it.
I've personally talked to the DNR biologist here multiple times. We've had him on our show multiple times.
So he said, but I'm talking if you're going to talk Mille Lacs from there.
Yep. So. Funny stories in spring when everybody gets to go out fishing for the first time. Weather's nice. Everybody's enthusiastic. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go out and catch a bunch of fish and I'm going to have a fish fry. And Don, you saw something funny.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
On Facebook.
Yeah. There's a Facebook page there that if you want to keep up to speed what's going on the Mississippi River in pools 4, 5, 6, and I think 7.
Yeah, it's something like that. I think it's 3, 4, 5, 6.
Maybe it's just 3,
yeah,
4,
something
5,
like
6.
That.
Anyway, people are getting in the habit of posting their big pictures. These
a lot of big fish being caught right now.
Big fish, big bellies. And I'm happy to say that most of them say that it's still swimming.
It's going back, yep.
But the one that took the cake the other day, and I mean, to be honest, I've never seen a paddlefish, let alone caught one.
Now, do you know how you catch those? They won't bite on anything.
Yeah?
You just, it happens. Snag it? It happens, you get a hook in the mouth and you get it.
Oh.
That's it.
So anyway, this gentleman was pretty proud of his paddlefish, so he gets home and he slabs it all out and makes steaks out of it. And he puts a picture online on Facebook with a nice array of paddlefish steaks in the photo. And the moderator for the Facebook page congratulated him and said he'll no longer be allowed on this site and that he hoped he enjoyed his conversation with the conservation officer when he showed up. because it's illegal to take a paddlefish in the Mississippi.
It is.
In any of those pools, at least. And yep. He was reminded by about 80 other comments. Sometimes you can't fix it.
Oh, stupid can't be fixed.
No.
No. And, you know, the other thing comes true. It's understand your limits. What are the limits? If you have a question, there is a thing called
on
your
the
phone.
Website, yep.
And you can pull that up.
Right on
I
our
have
website.
Done that multiple times,
yep.
You know, because you'll have a change of regulation and it happens. It happens quite often. So the realistic aspect becomes, how in the world do you...
Well, it's a good idea before you launch that you review those rules, at least for the body of water you're going to be fishing
yeah.
in. And what's unusual in this situation is the fact that it's border water. So you got to make sure you're abiding by both Minnesota and Wisconsin's rules.
So yeah.
I think he's probably learning the hard way.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, and I haven't heard any follow-up to that.
And,
but.
You know, on the walleye side of it, you know, you've got four fish, one over 20.
Yep.
And it's a combined aggregate sauger walleye. There you go. It's going to be great for the fishery. It's 2 years, I think, in now, 2 or 3 years that we've had that now. And there's some big pigs coming out, and that's good. The sauger population on the bigger saugers is not being devastated by people kept catching and keeping every big sauger. So
I did see another photo this morning. A gentleman had white bass, and he had a stringer. I'm not sure how he picked it up. He had so many on it. And again, the comments on it were reminding him of the rules. In fact, they posted the rule page on it. He thought the limit was 50, and the limit is 10. So he comes back with, well, that's per person. Well, I don't believe he had six people in his boat.
Been there, done that. Yeah. Seen
that
kind
happen.
Of thing go on. And
so make yourself aware of what's going on.
I actually called the tip line one time, and there was out-of-season fish being caught over limit fish, and I watched it happen. So, well, tell you what, guys, we're gonna have fun talking to Tony Roach. He's coming right up. Hang tight and listen to a couple words from our sponsors. Hang tight. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you guys hanging in with us. This is going to be some fun, but first we got to let people know where we're at, right, Don? Where are we at?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Oh, Facebook. He does such a good job. Way better than me.
Wow.
It's my job when you're not here to do that.
Oh, you get to do it, huh?
Yeah. And I pale in comparison to the one and only DK.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Wow.
Donnie boy.
That's...
You'll be okay.
Isn't that You'll that song, okay. Oh Donnie Boy?
It's
isn't
time it, for me to go home.
Is it Oh Donnie Boy? Is that what it is? We should make one up for him. Speaking of nothing having made up for our next guest, this guy has been there, done that. I've seen him do pull fish out of a barrel, basically. He can do that. The talented and amazing and gentleman I love talking to all the time, Tony Roach. Good to have you with us, Tony.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I hope that wasn't too much of a buildup for you.
No problem at all.
Hey, keep going. Don't stop on my account.
I appreciate it.
Well, you know, Tony, there's a lot of conversation that's come up in the last couple weeks. You and I talked extensively for probably, I don't even know, 45 minutes, at least maybe an hour on the phone while driving the other day. And the controversy comes up in a couple different situations. One is Wisconsin saying they're cutting their limits of walleye to one or catch and release in certain areas, and they're claiming it's global warming.
Oh, really?
Now, Mille Lac is cutting to no keep, catch and release till mid-August, and they're claiming excessive ice fishing take from this last season.
I thought you were going to say global cooling.
Well, it's a border away. They just make it's the MSU University. Make stuff up.
Oh, okay.
That's how that works. So let's get back to it, Tony. We got time to talk. This is going to be good. You're up there on the front line. Now, and you and I talked about this at length, but what's the beef? What's going on up there for real? And where are we seeing this error in the judgment, in my opinion, what the DNR is doing and as far as the fishery goes?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different factors. You know, the biggest factor is obviously it's a shared fishery with the bands, and, you know, they have certain agreements as far as, you know, harvest levels for sportsmen versus harvest levels for the band. And, you know, each and every year they get together and then they decide what's a safe harvest level for the fishery.
Correct. Yep.
You know, a few years back when things started getting really restrictive on Mille Lacs, you know, there was a few different things going on. The main thing was we're seeing gaps in year classes, right? We weren't seeing good recruitment of yellow perch, and there was gaps in year classes that coincided with, you know, zebra mussels and clear water and all sorts of things like that. Now, fast forward to where we're at today, you know, and this really tight restriction for this year, I'm a little bit taken back just because, you know, it was such a warm fall when they were doing all their fall assessments. And, you know, obviously the numbers weren't there, you know, in their fall assessments. I think I would disagree with the DNR on there as far as the overall spawning stock biomass, because that was always agreed on. You know, they would heavily monitor the spawning stock biomass, and that means all walleyes basically over the 14 inch mark. You know, anything that's any walleye that's sexually mature, that goes on their count. That those are fish that are gonna, you know, they're spawning, they're contributing to the fishery. So last year they saw a dip in the spawning stock biomass. They saw a dip in yellow perch numbers. They saw what they call a condition factor, which would be the health of the fish, what the walleyes look like. They claim that they're much skinnier than normal. And then, of course, catch rates are up. So anytime you have those three variables that, you know, kind of change from one year to the next, you're going to see a change. And even before they announced this regulation, we had a meeting with some of the preliminary findings that they had for their fall assessments. And that's exactly it. The numbers weren't in the nets. They were skinny, and, you know, the perch were gone, and catch rates are up. So I knew the writing was on the wall to have, you know, a catch and release type of season, or, you know, some sort of restrictive season, because that's what the DNR does. That's what the biologists do on Mille Lacs. So that's what they agreed with the bands to do. And so my whole take on this is, hey, we had a warm fall. Well, you know, surface temps when they were doing their fall assessments were in the 70s, warmer than I've ever seen. You know, the condition factor, the fish that were in the shallows that time of year, you know, they're going to be skinny. You're not going to get those big, healthy walleyes that are out in the basin that, you know, are
feeding on the big, big biomasses of bait.
Correct. You know, and that... you have catch rates that are up because walleye fishing's good. And so, you know, I knew the writing was going to be on the wall, and that's where we sit today. And, you know, I personally believe that there are way more walleyes in the lake than the biologists are seeing, especially after last season. And I truly believe that it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to this year's allocation and how they're going about it. Now, I'm a real conservative person. I don't need to go to Mille Lacs and keep a whole bunch of walleyes to have a good time. I love going out there and whaling on them. That's fine. But, I'm also out there looking every single day with the best electronics in the planet. I got forward-facing sonar everywhere I go. And I disagree with the biologists' numbers in a lot of locations. First of all, starting with the younger year class of the walleyes, the recruitment of fish coming up, I think there's some incredible year classes. I don't know if they rival 2013 type of year class, but they're definitely up there. They're more than, what their nets are showing anyway. And then as far as the overall condition factor, I think the fish look really, really good. You find an occasional skinny walleye. I mean, when you have mainly a catch-and-release fishery like Mille Lacs, you're going to have those fish. You're going to have old males that are just naturally skinny, okay?
Absolutely.
The overall factor of the fish, the condition factor of the fish, we caught them this winter. We caught them last fall. I think they look really good.
So,
and I'm an angler that fishes all over. I fish, Minnesota, Canada, North Dakota, Green Bay. And so, I'm not skewed into thinking what a walleye should look like. I know what they look like. And,
Tony, let's back up a second. And one of the things that we talked about was procedures that are followed when you're trying to understand what's going on in a fishery to analyze that body of water as far as the what's in it. I mean, what do they use for an evaluation? And it's netting. They test net that body of water. All right?
Yeah.
So last time I checked, fish learn. I know this because I've looked at, utilized some research studies on some of the things that I've done for sound, and fish learn. And fish will be impacted by an outside whatever that might be impacting their environment, whether it's sound, whether it's intrusion in light, whether it's also a foreign object or a foreign body coming into that particular area. And if they understand that a certain thing is bad, and in this case, let's refer to it as a net. The test netting that they've used is the same for years. There's just really no change to the net type. And the resort owners, a number of years ago, I think you remember the study, Tony, they weren't buying into what the DNR was saying back then. And they said, well, we're going to do our own study. They hired a research firm, and the research firm put a camera on a net. Have you heard about this, Don?
No, I haven't.
So they put a camera on the net underwater, and they showed the fish that were coming up to the net. Now, even back then, fish were understanding what that net was going to do. They'd swim right around the net. Now, Tony, in my mind, you have water clarity that's going up with the zebra mussels, right? You've got a same type net scenario, so it's not a dirty water. You can see the net from who knows how far away. And the impact of what they're going to get for results is going to be skewed, in my personal opinion, with those factors. And those are scientifically proven factors that will be creating a lack of understanding. How else could we phrase it, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, you could be absolutely correct. I think water clarity has a big factor in not only fish avoiding nets, but where they are versus where they were in 1992 or 1982 or whatever they decided, to put these net locations at, and I've seen where the DNR puts their nets, and some of them are right on track. Others, some of their offshore nets, for example, because that's always when I always bring up water temperature or surface temperature in the fall, it's always kind of reverted back to that, that we have offshore nets. And, in my opinion, the offshore nets really don't do a whole lot just because it's really hard to catch fish in a net in deep water locations. And so, I'm not casting stones at the DNR. I think they do the best job that they can with the tools that they have, right? I mean, they're supposed to kind of keep all of their you know, assessments the same from year to year to year, right? It's supposed to be done at the same time, in the same locations. That way, you know, you don't get any spike or weird data misrepresentations, if you will. And so, you know, I'm not casting stones. I mean, they do the same thing over and over and over again. It's just, you know, my biggest thing is, you know, they have an agreement with the band, so they have to get their data in by a certain time frame. And if they don't, they have like a trigger that they'll just automatically do their fall assessments on Mille Lacs so they can get them done, so that when they meet with the bands, everybody's on the same page. And I just think that's wrong. I think
I agree.
You know, we talk about, you know, in our meetings with the biologists, we talk about climate change and things changing and evolving systems, but nothing changes on their end as far as data collection. And that's my only gripe about it, is like, I'm out there every single day with some of the greatest technology on earth where, you know, we talked off air, I could do a roadside count just like they do with roosters.
Yep.
On my graph, we could set up a grid system for that lake. You take a forward facing sonar and you just start marking fish. And I think we could get a better idea of, you know, biomass in the lake in general by doing that versus, you know, a 10-day assessment in the fall. And so,
well, not only that,
I'm just a little frustrated with this year's assessment and this year's, you know, catch and release because of a one-year kind of blip.
Well, and again, I totally agree, Tony. I think the thing that I brought up the last time was when we were talking about Red Wing, and the DNR said, oh, the Lake Pepin is fine. There's no problems. There's plenty of fish. And we said, well, okay, where are the big saugers at? There aren't any big saugers. They're not anywhere near what we have been catching in the past. And, oh, there's no problem. Well, we actually got enough people together, and I've got Wisconsin, Minnesota to agree. We got the limit switched to 4 and 1 over 20, and it's going to dramatically change what's going on. Instead of bigger, small, club, mall mentality we have when people come up, because Wisconsin has that 2-day is your possession. So you can have twice the daily limit in your possession as a limit. So lots have changed, but I totally agree with you with the changes in dynamics in a body of water with zebra mussels, the clarity. I brought it up as a joke. Maybe they need to use fluorocarbon for the nets. So the clear water, you're actually able to utilize that. But and bringing up that point you had with the forward-facing sonar, I think the big piece of that puzzle is utilize it so people are understanding that we can use this technology as a help. But you also, before you switch over to it, you can utilize it to create a correlation between the test net and what you're actually seeing without disturbing those fish, and where are they? Because you can tell size, you can tell what they are. It's plain as day. And in that situation, hey, the population in shallow water has gone up significantly this year at this time of year versus the past. Whereas a test net, you have to have them run into it. And we know that the fish have learned. So it's not an effective methodology, in my opinion, in how to judge that body of water. Now, the other point you brought up earlier is that's important. Granted, we talked about it. I love going up there and catching walleye too. Just catching them and throwing them back. I mean, it's welcome to the tournament world as far as pre-fishing and having fun catching fish. The problem is we also have to look at it as managing as a resource for the successful operation of all the businesses that thrive on Mille Lacs. And they're around Mille Lacs, and the people that also provide all the support to the activities that are going to go on in Mille Lacs, whether it's sporting goods stores or whatever that might be. So it all comes down to the fact that people want to catch fish. They want to bring something home to eat. Well, okay, one or two. That's fine. Let's do that. But when you shut it down like this and then claim that it's because you had an overtake of ice anglers catching more than they should have been, I don't know, Tony. That's what they blame it on, and I'm with you. I'm not buying it either. Advantage Minnesota, or MN Fish, has posted a letter to the DNR. We brought it up a couple weeks ago. So I'm skeptical with you. it not making sense. So,
yeah, well, and you know, I when it comes down to scientific data, for example, what I want to see is this wave of the future where, okay, we can continue doing test netting for, you know, until we get a better method, but at least let's experiment with using forward-facing sonar in conjunction with, let's say, their electroshocking methods.
For the smaller fish, exactly.
Yeah, we can get a better accurate count of fish condition factor because, again, I believe that, you know, the fish that they're catching in their nets, because the surface temperature is so warm, most of the fish weren't in the shallows yet. So what you were catching were fish that were skinny, they were starving, they're up in the shallows because it's easier to catch food, right? It's easier to track down their prey in shallower water
than it is
out in that deep water. And so why not let's use forward-facing sonar electrofishing.
Exactly.
And create a new method.
Let's include multiple technologies. Yeah, and multiple technologies and get what we can to improve what's going on in that body of water. Tony, we're going to have to run. We burn through our time like nothing flat, as always happens. And I tell you what, I appreciate you coming on. Hey, check it out. Check out Roach's Guide Service. We'll have that on our website, The Valley Outdoors. And click on that for a great time out on the water with Tony. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good luck fishing, everybody.
Thanks, man. And that is the Valley Outdoors for Ava, Don, and myself. We can't thank you enough for joining us. Hang tight. Have a great weekend. Till next time, more Valley Outdoors next week. See you. Bye.